to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And today my special guest is Mark Provo, who will be talking about observational mathematics. And you guys, this is really interesting. I hope that everybody is going to get as excited as I am about this. And let me first state that I am not a mathematician, nor am I a physicist, but this kind of makes sense to me, so I'm going to let Mark explain everything. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Valerie, very much. Great to be here.
Yeah, and I you know, we just met a little while ago, listeners, so forgive me for not knowing a whole lot about Mark, but I'm going to let Mark introduce himself and basically tell his background and things like that, and then I'm just going to let him run wild and and talk about what observational mathematics has in store for us, you know, what the secrets of the universe are, basically. So if you've ever wanted to know what the secrets of the universe are, here we go. If you have any questions, this is a live show at this point, so if you have any questions, please do call in on the 800 number, and we'll be glad to put you on the air or get your questions to us if you're too bashful to be on the air. And let me just give that number before we start here, Mark. The toll-free number is 1-877-876-5227. And again, that's 1-877-876-5227. That's good for the USA only. Okay, Mark, hit it. Tell everybody about yourself.
All right. Thank you, Valerie. Well, I have a degree in mathematics from the University of Washington, and I was chairman of the mathematics department at the Overlake School, which is a college preparatory academy in Redmond, Washington. But when I was at Overlake, even though I was made chairman of the mathematics department in my first year there, as my teaching time went on, there was something that came over me, a constant intuitive awareness that said, there's something much bigger for you to do. I had no idea what this was, but it was so overwhelming all the time that I did actually leave that position. I then went ahead and it went into basically an immersion of attention and concentration and followed a line of new understanding that has produced a monumental revelation, actually, about the true nature of mathematics and the real basis for the laws of physics and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And the key discovery that is at the center of this is what's actually called observer mathematics. And it shows what happens when mathematics is done by an observer relative to the actual geometric objects of the sphere, the cylinder, and the circular disk. And you see, these objects are all known to us. Everybody can hold a basketball in their hand, look at a paper towel tube or a drinking straw to see a cylinder, look at a coaster or dinner plate to see a circular disk, a coin. And this means that if mathematics was done based on observation, and maybe numbers could be applied to those states, that's how it does turn out to be, well, then we wouldn't have an abstract mathematics. It wouldn't be abstract. It wouldn't be in higher dimensions and all this kind of thing that we think of as sort of how it is. And so what we find out is that the laws of the universe actually originate from an observer-based mathematics. And this is because, as the discovery shows, the true nature of reality is that there is an unbounded state of awareness, which is the actual supreme being.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is then a cosmos, which is only three-dimensional, however, spherical. And this is something that you and I had talked about earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the question of how do we use the word dimension in our conversations about science, but maybe even like if people are talking about metaphysical ideas or whatever. What do we mean by this word dimension? And what I've noted is that there is a kind of an error going on. And what folks need to know is that the word dimension refers to orthogonality as the fancy word in math, but it just means being at a right angle. If you were to look up at the corner of the room where the ceiling meets the walls, you'd see those three seam lines, or you could do it with the floor. That shows the X, Y, and Z directions, the three right-angled directions of normal space.
Mm-hmm.
We are, in fact, three-dimensional creatures, and we see through three-dimensional eyes. But this turns out to be the way that reality is. And when we say dimension, if we're going to go to, say, a fourth dimension,
mm-hmm.
as is proposed by Einstein's concept of space-time,
mm-hmm.
what we end up doing is creating a falsehood. Because mathematicians have allowed themselves to tack on that extra dimension even though it cannot be observed.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it causes our thinking to shift away from normal three-dimensionality and go to these ideas, which are more whiz-bang to our attention, maybe even in sort of enticing us to think, oh, you know, super string theory says the universe has 26 dimensions, and it's kind of wow, you know. But to find out that it's actually based on real three-dimensionality and that existence itself is three-dimensional, it means that when we use the a phrase like the fourth dimension, that it really doesn't exist. And if people are talking about other levels in the cosmos or something like that, the word dimension isn't the right one. And these are the kinds of clarifications that that this work produces. I'm going to stop there and let you now say something.
Well, and I'm just, you know, I'm fascinated. And as I told you earlier, and as most of my listeners know, I'm not a mathematician. I'm not a physicist.
Right.
But I do love quantum physics because I feel it, you know.
Right.
I feel it. I understand it inherently, and I think a lot of us do. Mm-hmm. And so when we were talking, a lot of what you said made sense to me from that kind of a standpoint. You know, it's an inherent feeling. And I'm just fascinated by this because I'm always looking for the truth in things.
Right.
You know, I want the elegant solution, and, you know, the simplest solution is usually the right one.
Oh, that's true itself. In fact, that is truth itself, is what I was trying to say. Yes, that truth has to be the highest truth. Oh, wow, the greatest truth. Oh, my gosh, which you always see last.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That truth has to be simple, elegant, and beautiful. And you see, when you look at mathematics and physics as they exist today, what you see is a complex quagmire of hyper-abstraction and no answers to fundamental questions of any kind, actually, as it turns out, if you really know about it, about this, it's true. And so what I've done is I've shown through this, really it's a discovery of, you know, but it's also something that I feel has been provided to me as a gift to all of us, in a sense, that we should know how it really works. And that this is something that really only the Lord can provide.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a special moment to have gotten an understanding about how it really is. Because what we find out is that many of these unsolved problems in physics are all instantly solved by this understanding. In other words, what we do is we say that observer mathematics is the actual foundation of true mathematics, you know, existentially, in existence. And that because there is a cosmos that was created, a universe is here, we're in it. Steps of construction have occurred, and mathematical laws and structures have been applied. In other words, as creation occurs, creation must be something that involves the application of mathematics. Sir James Jeans once said that essentially that the Lord is seen to be an applied mathematician, and there's truth in that. And we're not really thinking clearly that if there is a creation, there must be a creation process or creation thing, you know, that thing that is the detail of that. What is that? But how does that work? But you see, it is true that the Lord's mind would be first mathematical. As he goes to with the briefcase to the office wherever, you know, in heaven or whatever, each day, he's going into the office where he's an applied mathematician. We say this conversationally just to kind of get the idea, like, oh, yeah, it would be like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, that kind of, plays into all the sci-fi stuff that we've all been subjected to for years. You know, math is the universal language, and you know, math is the basis of all music, and the music of the spheres is mathematics.
Of course.
And now, of course, quantum physics tells us that that everything is frequency. So, it's all math, 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 and now it makes me regret my wayward math childhood.
Well, yes, right, and everybody pretty much is sharing this regret. See, I was a good math teacher, and was very popular. I mean, mm-hmm. lines stretched around the block sometimes to get into my classes,
mm-hmm.
And that's important only because it means that when I make this discovery, people get to be excited about it because they actually understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I can explain it well enough and present it so that people can understand it.
Well, that is half of the problem, you know. I mean, you can be the most brilliant person on the face of the earth, but if you can't talk to anybody, it doesn't do any good.
Well, but see, that would show that the truth is not present to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because only if the truth were to appear as an actual fact in a real situation, it would mean that it would simply go universal. It would be known by everybody. And it wouldn't be just a sidebar or a way of thinking over here by these people and something. It would be something fundamental. And that's the kind of thing this is. It shifts our thinking. And our logics, in some ways, and so on, our presumptions get us cleaned up. We root out misunderstanding. And when I say it that way, I'm talking about it almost as if it's a living process. And that's what you find out.
Mm-hmm.
You find out that it is a living process going on in you right now. in anybody right now.
That's because, pretty darn exciting.
Well, yes, because it means that there is a living, mathematically based process, but not, you know, merely mathematics, like equations or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a living process because there's an observer involved. Let's go back to that point where we had the unbounded state of awareness, not consciousness, by the way, and that's coming next. Awareness first is the unbounded state, the very being of the Supreme Being. We then have a sphere, which you could just see as being held out in the palm of your hand, and immediately you would model the state of the very person of the Supreme Being looking at this sphere. This is how it really is. It's three-dimensional and normal, based on observation.
Mm-hmm.
The observer then is going to create a mathematical system based on observing things like spheres, and now he discovers the cylinder and the circular disc are the two ideal forms otherwise, and doing that with number, and what you do is you produce the most beautiful understanding of mathematics that's ever been seen. And my paper that's on my website shows this, and it's quite stunning to see it, how it explains. What it does is it derives the entire structure of all the basic, all the things that we learned in school. We took some arithmetic, and we learned a little from algebra and some geometry and trigonometry, maybe a little calculus. And we learned these different topics, but they were just introduced as sort of separate topics. What this does is it shows that when you do the observation-based form at the beginning, it's always about what the observer chooses and decides according to an inevitable logic. And it develops a beautiful flow and process for why the various steps exist that do. And the result is something that it makes you aware of the living nature of a thought process that created a creation.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty heady stuff right there.
Yeah, right. And it means, too, let me say one other thing that's so important for everybody to hear. I want to show you another insight that was presented, and it is very profound and immediately seemed to be true, as all the things that I show are. They're always instantly, obviously true. And that is that everything in the universe could be classified into just two main categories, and yet this has not really been said before. We all take our clipboards and our lab coat, and we fly out in space through the universe, anywhere we want to go at any size. And we just take our clipboard and just draw a line down the middle, and we'll have a column on the left and a column on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, what are those two column headings? And it turns out that they are physics and life. Physics is for inanimate forms, and life is for animate forms.
Mm.
And what you therefore have are laws of physics for the whole universe, and laws of life for a particular solar system. This way of thinking has not appeared before, as far as I know. But it's the truth, as it turns out, and everybody would discover this to be the case. What it leads to, then, is think of a coin now, the idea of a circular disc. You could cut it out of cardstock, hold it in your hands. I like people to think that it's a model like that, that's something you really have, or just a big coin, open it up. There's top face and a bottom face. Circular disc.
Okay.
And what you notice about a circular disc is that it has to have two observations performed. You have to look at the top face, and you have to look at the bottom face. These are mathematical actions. And it turns out that mathematical states, like equations for physics and things like that, exist on these circular discs, on the faces of these discs, to the observer's observation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite profound what happens when you see how it produces the laws of physics. It simply stands astounding, based on a simplicity that has not been seen before.
Hmm. That's, wow.
Yeah. Right. I mean, this is a huge thing for me to just say it out loud. Normally one would try to have some modesty about one's own work, you know, and not just announce these enormous statements. And I do so only because I've been through a 22-year immersion that has led to this. It's really a realization rather than just things you learn, like intellectually or mentally.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole kind of thing where you realize that there's a thing and you know what it is now and you could explain it well. So I don't want to give the people a chance to hear it said that way, as if they were reading a textbook.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, yeah, very important. You picked it exactly, because I was just hoping that I could talk about one more thing, because it's very
mm-hmm.
important. This thing about observation, I want to review this, because this is what people, just most folks, never heard of this, and it's the most important thing about mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
See, what we do is we end up looking at these two main subjects in our high-level academic intellectual thought, the category mathematics and the category physics. We want to understand how those two should have a foundation. You know, we'd ask the question immediately then, okay, what is the foundation of mathematics? What is the foundation of physics? Well, the situation is very interesting, and folks have not heard this probably, but they're going to love how this is explained, and they can read about it. Here's what it is. In 1931, the mathematician Kurt Gödel published two incompleteness theorems about mathematics. And what he did was he showed that the way mathematics is currently conceived, based on axiomatic set theory and abstract mathematical logic, that such attempts, called the formalist program at the time, such attempts are always going to fail. The system will always be incomplete and inconsistent. But how can a mathematical system be incomplete and inconsistent? Then it's not a mathematical system.
Mm-hmm.
And what it means is that currently mathematics is in a crisis of uncertainty. And this has been going on for 75 years. And many folks have struggled with it, but it's never been resolved in any primary way. But what I'm going to show here is exactly how it's resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what it is. Mathematicians say that all mathematics should be is that it is abstract mathematical structures defined and written on paper, and they do whatever they do, formulaic proofs, these calculations or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're fundamentally saying in this is that there is no observation by any kind of an observer to be performed. These exist somehow as an abstract mental state. There is no relationship to a person or an observer dealing with it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But see, that's the error. Because if there were to be supreme being, and there were a person of the supreme being, and the person of the observer became the observer and the creator and so on, well, then, of course, that's how it would be. There would be observation as fundamental mathematics. And so what we do then is we say, if Gödel shows that the current approach based on no observation is wrong, then what about the opposite, therefore, which would be right, which would be observer, yes. And so we do the observer mathematics. What happens when the observer makes all the mathematics occur relative to the sphere, the cylinder, and the circular disk primarily? It's a stunning thing to see.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard anything like that before.
No, it has never been seen before. That's why when I started this process, at first I had no idea where this was leading. You don't. How could you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then, after years of immersion and writing on the pad and hours and hours and hours, you know, sometimes 10 hours a day in the early years, just to let things go on the pad and just see what comes out. But it became an ability after that. It wasn't just, you know, any slipshod thing. It became a very refined ability so that I could go right to the pad now, which is what I would do now. And if I'm to have a session on math or science, and I sit down and I pick up the pen and the next result to be realized appears in my attention, I simply write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a realization process granted, you know, by reality somehow, that it's important that one person be set aside to do this. Someone who would do the right thing with it, too, and have the right motivations.
Well, you know, and I think that's an important thing. And
yeah.
I was speaking about that earlier.
Exactly.
In reference to another product of actually the elemental water that's being hoarded by some people right now. And, you know, I won't get into that on this particular show.
Right.
But the actual spirit of the water was coming to a friend of mine and saying, I want to be released. Would you cage Christ and parade him around and charge people $10,000 to see him?
Yeah.
And, you know, the water itself has an awareness and was communicating and saying, look, you know, I came to do a job. I came to heal everyone on the planet and you know, to heal the earth itself. And you know, people are not letting this out. So I think that what's happening is we have this revolution of so many different and new ideas that are coming out if
yeah.
people would just pay attention. And you can't pay attention if you're eating your Cheetos and drinking your beer and watching TV.
Exactly.
You know, you have to go within and really make that connection and say, yeah, I want to be made aware.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think, you know, you've gone beyond what most of us would do. And I'm sure you know that.
Well,
know,
right.
But,
it's,
you know,
it's just a matter of fact. It's a factual matter.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Now, let's say something about then how about this observer mathematics foundation for math,
mm-hmm.
but then let's talk about briefly about physics so I can summarize the two side by side and you can hear that lined up properly.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what we found out about mathematics is that we overturn the foundation of mathematics. We do so by changing from the system where there's no observer to the system where there is the observer.
Mm-hmm.
And this becomes now that there's a foundation for mathematics that is not uncertain. The rest of it is uncertain, but this is not. So that resolves this problem raised by Kurt Gödel's theorems, and that's an historical kind of thing, you know, to have to make that discovery. But then we look at physics, and we say, well, what does this do for that? Well, the current situation in physics is that there is no foundation.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, you've never read, in all your reading, you've read a lot of things about new physics and all of that, but you've not really seen a truly comprehensive derivation of the universe from first principles or something like that.
No.
No. But see, now this is all totally available. I have all of this understanding completely finished.
This is pretty incredible stuff. And, of course, you know, the first question the listeners are going to have is, where can they get their hands on this stuff?
Well, right. You can go to my website, www.markprovo.com, and the two main papers are provided there. There's a little bit more material there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's, and let's spell it out for them.
It's www.markprovo.com.
Yeah, and I've looked at those papers, so I've, you know, I have seen that, yeah, they're pretty easy to access. So
yes, and they're also easy to read. If a person has any basic, even kind of just a little bit higher than layman's knowledge of math and science, they should just go and just start reading, because you're going to see that nothing's talked about that is anything other than that which is observable right to your own example. I mean, you can just see it yourself, so there's no question that's right. That's why there's immediate certainty. See, here's the thing about that. Suppose our listeners went to the supermarket and you went through the checkout line, and you had three items, $1, $2, and $3.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the checker rings it up, 1 plus 2 plus 3. She says, okay, $6, and $6 comes out of your pocket, and you leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's arithmetic. We've performed arithmetic. We've done human life events based on arithmetic transactions. And yet, do we question the certainty of the result that you owed $6?
Of course not.
Of course not. Did you have to have axiomatic set theory and abstract mathematical logic to attain that result? Of course not. So, therefore, there is an observer mathematics and a common sense mathematics based on real experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows that life is inevitable. See, earlier we were talking about our two columns on the clipboard. And we had physics in one column and life in the other. Let's go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the top column, we label that physics. And so we list things like space and time and particles and atoms and galaxies and, you know, all this physics material, the forces and so on. Then you would come over, like gravitation, electromagnetism, and so on. Then you would come over to the life column. Well, where would that apply? See, what we have is laws of physics that apply throughout the universe, but laws of life which apply to a particular solar system.
Mm-hmm.
So the Earth is in a solar system that has already a structured set of laws of life. And these laws are primarily laws of time in human life.
Laws of life, you know, let me just have a quick aside.
Please.
Here. You know, as a naturopathic physician,
yes, absolutely.
One of the things that we talk about is the laws of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot circumvent the laws of nature for very long without having disastrous results.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm looking at that and saying, okay, then I know that that means the same thing with the laws of life. You know, you're going to have to... have to realize that we operate within certain parameters.
Okay, and then the problem is, what if there were laws like that going on, but we didn't know about it?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, that's what I've discovered. Should I talk about that briefly?
Oh, yes.
I think so.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because this is really some of the most stunning material of all time, too. I mean, all of it really is. I'm always flabbergasted myself.
Mm-hmm.
The laws of time in human life. See, laws of life, what does that mean exactly? Well, we find out that there are different ones, but mainly we want to think in terms of this big kind of broad category, the laws of time in human life. And people would say, the laws of time in human life. I don't think I've ever heard that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
No, we don't hear that. Okay, but see, that's like having a blind spot on the back of your head. How you can't see the back of your own head?
Mm-hmm.
That's a blind spot. We can't disregard these blind spots and let them go by unseen.
Mm-hmm.
See, what we're going to have are laws of time in human life. Let's give three that everybody knows. The first one is DNA. This is a law of time in human life. It determines the timing of our growth and aging.
Mm-hmm.
Is that in dispute? That's what that does?
I don't think so.
Exactly. So there's no disputing that. See, this is observer mathematics thinking. See, mathematics is now seen to be the science of pattern recognition performed by the observer.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're thinking as the observer, we're following along any of these particular steps, and seeing how, oh, I see that if there was one single observer mind with a high-level understanding, using all this at a big level, then the consistency of thought would be like this about that and like this about that. But see, that comprehension, that frame of reference, hasn't been realized before. So I went into an immersion so that my attention could be changed into that,
mm-hmm.
so that I actually have the comprehension of what the real thing is that's going on, and so it's kind of an amazing thing.
And, you know, the real thing is what I'm interested in. You know, I mean, we need the real truth. And
yeah.
No more of this garbage that we've been fed for years and years and years by the dark side and all this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's time for the real truth to come out.
That's right.
And for all the listeners that are out there going, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, let's tell them a little bit more about truth.
Yes. There's so much what this is about exactly that. It's simply like, it's like, you know, basically just going straight to the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just step, boom. You have a question, next step, the answer. And so that's what I do on the pad. It's also the what this does. It just leaves behind all this other theory stuff
mm-hmm.
and just goes, boom, this is it. Obviously, just read it.
Mm-hmm.
But people, I would actually have to read something that I've written all the way through, especially the big math paper. You can't just skim it or scan it or dip into it. Some people did that and wrote stupid stuff on the internet because they thought that they had read it when they didn't. You have to actually, it's a new way of understanding and thinking. It goes through and you have to explain it from, you know, see it from beginning to end. But the people who've done so have all said good things about it, great things. Stunning. Yeah.
Well, you know, and that is the key, too. You know, I mean, it brings you back to awareness. It's more than just consciousness. It is awareness. Because if you are aware, you're going to see the things that are truthful in whatever you're looking at or listening to. The
yes.
truth is going to pop right up and hit you between the eyes.
Yes, if you practice this pattern recognition, which is what personal growth really is,
mm-hmm.
it boils down to pattern recognition. And one would hope that one would do personal growth not just to improve oneself for one's own self's sake, but rather improve one's understanding of the world, of what's happening in the world.
And of how to change the things.
And what we need to do to work to change this. And, I mean, it's a major thing right at the point. We have to get on this.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I've been told by my own guidance for years that, you know, okay, it's getting close, and lately it's been like, you know what, you have no more time left.
Yeah.
And the guidance has not been talking about me specifically,
right?
But everybody,
mm-hmm.
and saying,
yeah.
okay, listen, it's time now to put on the boots and go out there and do some stomping around in the muck and clean things up. You know, it's time to really get ready for the next step. And so for me to have this kind of stuff being brought to my attention is pretty thrilling.
Great. Yeah.
And
well, that's,
you know,
why it was brought to your attention, because you're the right kind person. In other words, we meet in the afternoon. I'm on the radio show 2 hours later.
Yeah. Well, that's the way my life works.
So, yeah, well, exactly. But see, I needed that because of my current dilemmas.
Mm-hmm.
I needed that, too, myself, to have a chance to be heard as soon as possible.
Oh, and that's the other thing, too. Before we forget, let's give an address or, you know, contact information for you beyond the website.
Well, there really isn't anything right now because of what's happened. I think I should have a chance. Can I summarize a couple of things? Because,
please, yeah.
Yeah, because there's background information. See, to do work like this, I mean, how can you just do this? It takes a full-time immersion. It's just an enormous event to realize this. And that meant I had to leave the normal Western, you know, sort of life and go into not seclusion or anything per se, but just, you know, into the cloister, as it were, to focus my attention on, just like Andrew Wiles did when he proved Fermat's last theorem years ago. I mean, he went 8 years in his attic to do this. It takes concentration to do these big things,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, you know, but how does one get funding? And it turns out, after 10,000 failed letters to be heard, never to be evaluated, you find out that it's impossible for any person who is not a university professor to attain funding for scientific work in the United States.
Hmm.
And it is a staggering oversight. Again, see, I always land in these blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
This is a national blind spot. It comes from the fact that we have an 85% plus scientific and mathematical illiteracy in this country, and generally around the world, I think. And the problem is that it's not seen as being important. And we also have a systematical structural pattern that's a linkage between the government and the academic system that makes a kind of a machine. It's like what Eisenhower was talking about with the military-industrial complex, this kind of thing, how these kind of big things fuse together, and they become impenetrable to those who are not inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so funding became impossible because you could never be heard. And this went on and on and on, see, for 10 and 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happened? There are two bad events that happened. The first was that I just finally found a benefactor, finally, through a personal referral. He saw my work. He said, you're funded right now. But I have to wait for my investment to come back. It's about 4 weeks. As soon as this millions of dollars comes in, some of this is yours. So I found my solution. This was December 2002.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was the man had just – so I was also in a strange life situation in that I needed to move. I was in the process of moving on my way to get the money when his crooked lawyer embezzled all of his money.
Mm-hmm.
And to the tune of millions of dollars, ruined his life.
Mm-hmm.
And threw me into a motel room.
Oh.
And the motel room scenario, see, I have no family at all, so what folks wouldn't understand perhaps or just wouldn't know, I'd have to say that I don't have any family of any kind. I was an only child of now deceased parents and no extended family, not married, don't have any children. So I have friends, of course, but you know, we're all poor folks, sort of. You know, what can we do? So anyway, this process put me in that motel, and the motel thing went on for a long time. In fact, in a sense, essentially, it is still going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was then, the next bad thing that happened was that I was covered on the front page of the Oregonian newspaper. You wouldn't think that would be a bad thing. It was the front page of the Sunday paper, for heaven's sake. The most unbelievable journalistic disaster in history basically occurred. And the reporter, who was a self-described math idiot,
mm-hmm.
completely botched the writing of this article over a 5.5 month period, to the point where he could not remember the things I showed him about at the beginning of the process. And so by the time it was 5 months later, he just made up a fictional motif, and he turned me into a fictional character and just made up the details of my life out of his head.
Wow.
Yeah, and this man won the Pulitzer Prize. His name is Tom Holman, and he should be chastised for what he did. It's just unbelievably brutal. And the Oregonian was criticized for this because I had posted an extensive refutation on my website, which people can still get. It's right there at the bottom. And you'll see line by line by line why everything I said was wrong,
mm-hmm.
and why it was all fictional. But what it was so garbled that instead of this being my big chance to be heard, right, 100,000 people or something might come to my website, money might come in through the PayPal and so on, buttons that are there. Instead, it was that people thought, well, we don't even understand who this person is, and he's living in a motel room. It's so bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't understand me at all because I never appeared in the – he never quoted me once. After four 90-minute interviews and interviewing many people who know me and my work, who all praised me and it, and went to him, you know, he called them, and many times they had many interviews. He didn't use a single quote from any of us.
Wow.
And so what it is that I had to leave the other motel room, rent a car, and go to another place. Just thinking it was the temporary way station until the article, for security reasons,
mm-hmm.
for the article to come out. And, of course, this would be a great article by a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter. I mean, this is good. My work is good. It will be heard. Oh, my gosh, I'm certain to get some money, and I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, then the disastrous article, which meant that I was then put in this temporary rural situation where I know nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, money's run out. And I've just kind of been painted into a corner by the situation. All of my supporters at the same time, unfortunately, have also exhausted their capacities. And the thing is just kind of going off a cliff almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping that folks will have a chance to consider providing a little support to this work, which
well,
they could do by just going to the website or some PayPal buttons there. It's pretty very simple.
Yeah,
I'd be so
I hope that they do, too. And, you know, one of the things that's important to me, and maybe, I don't know if you're willing to do this or not, we hadn't discussed this, but for the people who do go and donate to the cause, which I would label the cause for truth,
okay. Right.
Then is there something that you can give them in addition, you know, some little hint, you know, or extra thing that you don't have, you know, completely mathematically typed out? Like maybe you could do
well, under normal circumstances, I would say yes. I would eagerly do so.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is my computer.
Mm-hmm.
It is extremely old and outdated. It only has one Microsoft Word program, which is now defective,
mm-hmm.
and an AOL program, which is also now defective.
Mm-hmm.
And the computer is not functioning enough for me to write something like that would
mm-hmm.
be just that thing. And certain other things that I'm producing, they're not quite ready to just be put into a public immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And the emphasis on my website needs to be about my work in the papers shown there.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I think also folks could get a sense of me just from our talk.
Well, now, I'm thinking, too, you know, that a lot of people are looking for something that's going to give them solace. that's going to give them some kind of a direction with how to approach, how to make this great connection with the all that is. Now, if the computer's the only problem, you know, we can talk on the phone. I'll type it up for you and post it to your website, you know, or send it to the people who contribute. Because I think, you know, the people, the lay people who are listening to this program, you know, if they're going to contribute any kind of funding to you, then they would like to have something in return. I'd be happy to type something up and, you know, you can give me your secrets of the universe, you know, in a little synopsis or something. You know, just something that would help them to start thinking about it because, as I'm sure you know, Spirit doesn't just, like, whomp us over the head with the answers. Spirit gives us the impetus to ask the question. And then it's up to us to keep asking the question until we get the answer. And it's like, you know, things are not just like handed to you on a silver platter. You know, you have to work at it because there are all these little levels and things, you know, of understanding that you go through. And, you know, I know the universe is a logical place. I've said that for years and years. But I also know that 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get wonked with a magic wand. You know, most of the time, you have to have the desire within your heart, which is put there, you know, by your higher self, your guidance. And then you ask the question. And the more times you ask the question and the deeper you look into the question, the closer to the truth you get, which would kind of describe your whole last 12 years, I think.
Right.
And so I think that what would be valuable for people would be if you could give them something that would help them on their own personal.
Well, there's one possibility. It just occurred to me now that you say that. I tried to download a new program which has a free writing thing in it, and I think I might be able to use that. It seems to be modeled on Microsoft Word. I haven't really had a chance to try it because I just did this, but I'm looking. I might be able to write a document, and if so, then absolutely. In fact, I already can think of what it would be. So why don't we plan on that? I will send anybody who sends any contribution, they'll certainly buy, like if you do PayPal, it has your little email thing, so I could just send it to your email address as an attachment.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Sure.
And so, listeners, if you know of anyone who can contribute, don't think it has to be a huge amount. I mean, huge would be nice, but I think, you know, at this point, anything would be lovely. I mean, even if you could contribute a dollar, if you had 1 million people contributing a dollar, shoot, you'd be a millionaire instantly.
Well, it is true that the buttons are set. The lowest one is 25 on the thing.
Okay, so people could get together and say, hey, let's give this guy a shot at being able to continue this work and get this work out there. Because if you can't use the universities and the normal scientific routes because people won't even give you a chance,
that's right.
Then that means that you got to be able to go and get into seminars and things like that. You pretty much have to do it on your own. And, you know, kind of a grassroots demand, supply and demand type of thing. And that takes money.
Yeah, it does. And, well, fundamentally, too, I need to create a mathematical and scientific research institute, which has already been, you know, mapped out in terms of what that needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because there needs to be an official focal point from which this new mathematical and scientific understanding is presented.
Mm-hmm.
And so that takes benefactor-type funding or something of that kind. And I've always been trying to find somebody who could act as a benefactor to this work.
Well, hopefully there will be somebody listening who will know someone, because, you know, there's that whole 6 degrees of separation.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, someone knows someone who knows someone who knows someone,
sure.
And, you know, you just start mentioning it
and
having people go to the website and taking a look at your work and starting to understand it, and it could happen very quickly.
Well, I
very much believe in all this stuff. As my listeners know, I have, you know, the quantum physics room, the holographic projector room, and I go in there and I ask for impossible stuff all the time. And it happens.
Right.
And I have no idea how that works, really. I mean, I know it's quantum physics and it's all based upon intent and desire and, you know, getting the truth out there. But it's just kind of funny because a lot of people, you know, they think it must be pie in the sky stuff. And what we're saying today, folks, is this is not pie in the sky. This is real.
Oh, heavens no. Yeah, no. See, if we don't have the understanding of the laws of physics and how they really operate, how can we expect to understand any of these things, these topics you're bringing up?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what this material does. It's the basis for creating the real understanding for any particular discovery you care to mention that you're applying there.
Exactly.
Right.
And this is important stuff. So I'm hoping that the listeners are getting it. And I know I have quite a few regulars that sit out there and listen, and you know, every time I say that, of course, I think of Dr. Fred Bell. You know, he's always saying he's only got 13 listeners. So if he's got 13, I've got two. So, but my two loyal listeners out there are probably sitting here and taking notes on what you've been saying, and I bet you they're looking at the website right now.
Okay, great.
So to those two loyal listeners, I'd like to thank you, first of all, for listening, and also ask you if you know anybody that can help. And if you can, please do contact Mark. And again, that's www.markprovo.com. And
there's an email address they can send something to on there.
Great. Why don't we give out the email address, too?
Okay. It is, so I'll say it out loud and then spell it. Mm-hmm. It's modularmathsci@aol.com, spelled modularmathsci@aol.com.
Okay.
I
really hope that this does happen for people, because just in our short conversation this afternoon, I have to let you know, listeners, that Mark really opened my eyes as to how a lot of things happen. And I was just giving examples, or he was giving examples, and then I'd be going, oh, wow, that explains why this happens this way.
Yeah, exactly.
And, one of my examples was my late husband, the CIA agent, who didn't know what was going on looking at TV, and I'd look at it and go, that's not what's happening. And he'd look at me and say, well, what do you mean? What do you think is happening? And I'd tell him, and he'd go upstairs and he'd check on the computer and come out 40 minutes later and say, you're absolutely right. How did you know that? Nobody knows that.
Yeah.
And then you said that I was recognizing patterns.
Yeah, that you're practicing pattern recognition generally.
Yeah.
And that, again, I would propose if people thought, and see, well, here's the simple logic of this. If, let's say, a person wants to set up the heading, personal growth,
mm-hmm.
Well, what is that going to mean exactly? The person is going to be doing something, presumably, that will cause them to grow, quote-unquote,
mm-hmm.
whatever that would be. But what they're going to be doing is always based on some kind of decision.
Mm-hmm.
And those decisions better be informed. And they're not. Or they're misinformed. And many people are constantly making decisions based on misinformation, especially based on, you know, what may be now outdated belief systems or whatever. But you need to be able to recognize the patterns that you're surrendering to sometimes, you don't realize what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and the ones that, you could start to notice are things that you need to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're half there but not the other half, but you put yourself to the discipline. But you have to be able to recognize your own patterns to do that. But you see, if mathematics is the science of pattern recognition performed by the observer, and you're an observer, and you're doing pattern, well, then you're just there. You're doing mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why people don't have good personal growth sometimes, is that they're so fundamentally moved away, shall we say, dialed away
mm-hmm.
from mathematics, that it actually puts them out of sync with reality. And this is the fault of our educational system and prior mathematician thinking. It is not really their fault. And so I want to reassure everybody who's listening, who hated math in school or any of that stuff, you should have had my class anyway, but you're going to love it because you're going to understand. The problem is, how can I get this in presentable form? Here's what that means. It doesn't mean printing it in a book per se. I mean, it does. But
mm-hmm.
the first thing that people need to see is they need to see that color, graphic, and animation.
Mm-hmm.
They need to see it in a video, movie-type form.
Sure.
And you see this material generate. I mean, when you talk about calculation, say of one of the constants of nature, and you're actually seeing it before your eyes how it calculates, and then comparing it to this value shown on the national government website about what those are, and it's exactly the same. Things like that, just to see how that's done, but doing it with the way we do it, with the cylinders, circular disc, the sphere, and so on. It, you can't even believe what you're seeing.
Well,
and yet it's right there, it's going to flip. But I've never even seen it in that fullest way, you know, myself, where you could literally put in a videotape and watch it as animations.
Well, it's all mentally. That kind of reminds me of when the whole fractal mathematics thing came out, and people were just shocked to see the repetitive patterns.
Yes.
And I know I was blown away.
Right.
When I first saw the representation of fractal mathematics, I was like, wow. And I feel the same way about this stuff. And, you know, it's fundamentally simple.
Oh, yes.
And the truth always is. So
absolutely.
I mean, I just love it. And I can see now, after speaking with you about this, I can really see how the things in our life work And I haven't even delved into the paper yet. I haven't had time. I just kind of looked at it, you know, real quick and went, ooh, I can't wait to sit down and really read this.
I mean, this paper, people should know, this paper is meant to just show what the full system is from a mathematics point of view, in a sense that it's a, you know, it gives all the details of how mathematics should be originated, founded, and why. Does arithmetic, goes to algebra, then goes to the higher operations and shows how things like trigonometry and calculus actually originate, what's going on there, how they reside in the circular disks or cylinders. And you go through and you get the laws and so on. So it's a little, people might think it's a little tedious here and there or something. I don't really think so. Just forgive that and go keep going, because you're going to get real bombshells as you keep going. You'll see, for example, the modular numbers. The most important part of this is the modular numbers. We can't let our talk go by without mentioning that.
Mm-hmm.
Think, please, of a kitchen clock. It has the numbers 1 through 12 going around it. These are nice whole numbers. These are not signed numbers. This is not positive 1, positive 2. This is whole number 1 and whole number 2 and so on up to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is, mathematicians will talk about that state, very important because it's circular. It's like our circular disk. Mm-hmm. We call it a modular state. And they'll call it mod 12 because it has 12 numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they missed a step. You actually have to have a step prior to that,
mm-hmm,
in which you have a circular disk, which you cut into 12 sectors, and the observer counts each sector 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. So you have a series of 12 ones going around, and then starting at the first one and then going rotation around goes to addition, meaning that you'll add it up and get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 12.
Mm-hmm.
The modular numbers are that step behind there, and it turns out to be so important because every modular number automatically produces its square. And this is why the square is found to be so prevalent throughout the laws of nature. I'll give you an example. If you look at a periodic table in a chemistry classroom, it says that there are 83 naturally occurring stable elements. Well, but not technically true, because two elements, 43 and 61, are not made by nature. So actually, there's only 81 naturally occurring elements. Notice that this is 9 squared, 9 times 9.
Mm-hmm.
There are 9 naturally occurring unstable elements. And what are the? How many? 9. 9 is a perfect square, 3 squared.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that this modular pattern generating this n squared state basically, becomes fundamental to the constructions, especially for the atom. And one of the coolest things about my work is that it provides a scientific derivation for the atom, something that has never been produced, not like this, not where you derive the atom from first principles, derive all the particles, derive all the masses of the particles, the whole kit and caboodle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have this written up because I don't have the money to get the software and have a real computer and a real life. I mean, I'm living out of a shoebox right now, so I need to step up and out of this. I need to be heard, and some guys, people of means should really, I hope they'll step forward.
I hope so, too, because this is something, I mean, to devote your life to doing something like this is just, it's amazing. And, you know, I mean, thank God I didn't have to do it. It's hard enough doing what I do.
Yeah, right.
And so I thank you for doing that. But,
we can talk about healing.
Yeah, well, healing, you know, healing is mathematics. I mean, it really is. It always has been. I mean, you know, half of what I do is frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you look at frequency, that's all mathematics. You know, I mean, I've done sound healing with people, and I've had it done on me where you sing at someone, and it's the variations in your tones and the specific tones themselves,
right,
that will actually create miraculous healing within someone's body or their psyche.
Well, the miraculous aspect, I like that you mentioned that, because if we say something is miraculous, we should at least step back for a moment and say with some respect, gosh, could that be because there's of the Lord or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that there's a supreme being, maybe, and we should be thinking about that.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, sort of an abstract belief about that, but rather than sort of rather sitting down and letting that really kind of get you by the whatevers, you know, and,
mm-hmm,
you know, what about that? I'd like to talk about that a little bit because I found that that is how it is. I mean, I wouldn't have this understanding if there weren't this reality because it's been pleased to reveal it to me.
And I totally agree. And I mean, everything that I've had happen in my life has pointed to the fact that there is a great creator, the one
who
started
exactly
everything and continues everything and observes everything. And like a friend of mine said, you know, everybody thinks they're getting downloaded. He said, you go on top of the mountain in Tibet, and you will realize suddenly that you are uploading, And you are sending information back home.
Yeah, right.
And I always thought that was kind of interesting, you know, because I've always felt it goes two ways, and with my own experiences, my near-death experiences and such, that I can tell you that, yes, there is a whole lot more going on the other side.
Oh, yes.
That the people are pretty much unaware of.
And you know what the thing is that people don't know? Here's the secret, okay? That there are four levels in the cosmos, four primary levels. This is an extra step, but we'll leave that out for now. It's best to think in these terms. There are four primary. Remember I showed that there's the Supreme Being holding that cosmos in the palm of his hand, literally looking down at it as the observer, having created it. And then what it turns out is that there are four centering states. Actually, it's eight, but it's four levels. Four levels that go down. And the thing is that these levels have been mapped by the authentic Hindu and Buddhist realizers.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to know what that is. And that is not common knowledge. And I'm going to say it fast because it's completely obvious and clear how you hear it. We are at the lowest one of these. Like, think of an onion with four levels, and we're down in the lowest one. It's called the gross universe.
Mm-hmm.
That big black space you see when you look out at the night sky, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's inside a spherical boundary, mm-hmm. as it turns out. Then you move up to the subtle level, the causal level, and there's a supra causal level also,
mm-hmm.
S-U-P-R-A. There are these four levels, and then I'd have to explain it because no one's really written it up properly, so somebody could go read this somewhere, but it's the way it is. And so the fact is that the supercausal level is a level that people haven't really known about, that the Hindus realized the first three, but there's one other person who went to another level of that, the fourth level, and we'll get into that now. But anyways, it turns out this is the thing, and people need to know that these cosmic levels are the forms of consciousness, which is inside the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
You see, awareness is the unbounded being outside the infinite supreme being form, and there's the person of the supreme being. But then the cosmos is this finite state, and the essence medium inside it ends up inverted. And this is what becomes consciousness, and this is what will get me in trouble, see, to say this. But the fact is, folks, that consciousness is a con right from the beginning. Look at the word.
Mm-hmm.
And my work on Mathistry, the pattern and world events, the laws of time that I was talking about, we haven't really gone into the details of that, but this shows how the language in the English language is to be seen as actually containing a divine comprehension of text about world events and also about the meaning and significance of words. And the word consciousness ends up, you see, with this expose. And so when we've been told to go to higher levels of the cosmos and so on, go into samadhis of the cosmos, we're actually being sold a bill of goods. And I think that something that you and I can, you share with me, is that we both don't like it when we're sold a bill of goods.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure that the truth, as you said, the real facts about that get out. And that's what we're doing.
It's a very lively thing to try to get this out, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like trying to wrestle 10 tigers with your pinky finger.
Oh, yes, exactly. And this leads me to another point about that, which is that because there is this person of the Supreme Being and all this creation and all this thing is going on, we'd have to know why is this happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world's history is one of mostly suffering and shock factor,
mm-hmm.
not any kind of great enjoyment or anything like that. It has its moments, but nothing compared to the overwhelming suffering of the history pattern we've just lived through. And so we'd have to say, why is this? And it turns out that it's about the perfection of existence. People would assume that existence would be instantly perfect in its first step. But it's not. It's really blank. It doesn't know anything. It hasn't done anything. So it can't be called perfect as compared to what that isn't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go through a step where there's a sorting out of, you know, basically good versus evil kind of thing, the positive and negative,
mm-hmm.
and so on. And this two columns, again, like our physics and life columns, we end up with that again. And the whole thing, it's just the way it works out. You learn the details of this, and it explains how this thing really works for the first time.
Well, I tell you, I am so grateful that I've been able to talk to you about this, and we've only got a few minutes left in the hour here, so want to start, you know, with thanks for that, and I would love to have you on the show several more times so we can get more in depth. I know there are people out there that want the secret, and you know, I mean, my famous thing is always, you know, the answer is 42. You know, from the old Douglas Adams stuff, you know, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
You see, you'd actually find out that if you shouldn't say that anymore, because 42 is not an auspicious number. You should not say that.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
I found this out. See, that's the whole mastery shows how that really works. Which numbers are sort of better than others?
Oh, yeah, well, we got to have the answer as being the, you know, the perfect number then, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it always cracked me up because, you know, you want to know the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Yeah.
And so people are looking for that, and if they could just grasp even a tiny bit of that, it can bring them hope.
Well, yes. I hope that they won't think that they're only going to grasp a tiny grasp, but they're in fact going to get the whole enchilada.
Oh, yeah,
they
will eventually.
That's what's going on. That's what they can get, mm-hmm. as this process would be, so that could be put into a proper presentation form. I can't do anything without funding. And, you know, and I'm also repeating historical patterns of the mathematicians Abel, Galois, and Ramanujan. Mm-hmm. who all were great genius mathematicians but had lived lives of extreme poverty and died young. And I'm worrying about that latter part. You know, we got to make sure that that this powerhouse thing that's going on here keeps going.
Absolutely. Well, I hope that the listeners have taken this to heart and they can help you out. And
we will be
talking more. And for now, I'd like to thank you very much for being on the show, Mark. And it's been a very enlightening experience for me and hopefully for the listeners.
And I've enjoyed it enormously.
Great. Well, we'll have to do this again because this is just so important.
Great.
That people really get this. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in.
Yes, thank you.
And this will be on archive, so you can download it as soon as that's ready. And you know, tell your friends and family, or tell your friends and neighbors and all that. And in the meantime, I thank you for listening, and I hope that you will really glean what you need from this. And in the meantime, be happy, be healthy, and we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.